We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show continues on the beginning of Bill Michaels Radio. Joe across. And, well, I got to remind you, big doings going up next weekend, next Friday night. I got to get some guys. Joe, if you want to do this with me, I got to get some guys here in the station to go with me. Next Friday, not this coming Friday, but next Friday night, one of our sponsors that's taking us to Super Bowl, our group down at Stenny's, they have that big Halloween costume contest. It's a standalone night, by the way, because everybody does theirs on Saturday. So they're doing one on Friday, and they're giving away $500 in cash. Myself, my wife, Sherry, we're judges. We've done this now like the last 3, 4 years, 5 years, something like that. And I've been a judge down there for a long, long time. But they are putting together this big night, and they want some of us from the fan and from the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network to go down there. So I got to – Chuck Freeman is – because it's all the wings and beverages you can throw in your gullet, you know. So I got to get, like, Chuck and Shannon, I'm sure, would go. Billy Schmid's in. Anytime you're talking free wings, he's in. He's face first like he's going to the electric chair. Joe, you and Rachel want to come down? Put it on your schedule, or you got something going on next Friday night?
I don't know, Bill. We'll have to take a look.
Okay, take a peek. There you go. So they got all kinds of stuff going on down there. But don't forget, Stenny's not only is it terrific wings and the home of the Bill Michaels garlic cheese bread, but coming up a week from this Friday, they have their costume contest coming up, and that's for a G. That's $500. That is for a G for me, but $500. So stop on down and check it out at Stenny's. Which, by the way, our daughter is having her first high school party. Official party coming up this Friday night, and Stenny's is doing the catering. She wanted wings. She said, I said, what kind of food do you want? She just wants snacks. Can we get Stenny's wings? Right out of my own heart. There you go. Face first in those wings. Let's bring him in now. Seth Evans, our National Baseball Insider, joining us. Seth, how you doing, buddy?
Good to talk to you, man. How are you, bud?
I am good. So Joe
High
Madden.
High school parties, huh? That brings back memories.
You know, it's high school parties and Halloween parties. And, every time I get somebody that comes to town, there's always a couple of places I take them. One of them's down to Calderon Club. The other one's over to Stenny. So when
there you
get here, let me know.
I'll be there.
Perfect. Hey, first and foremost, Joe Madden, the new manager of the Angels. Do you think he has magic to make the Angels relevant again?
Well, I think he has an opportunity to. He's got two great players in Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout. There's a lot of pieces that need to be put together, and it's not going to happen overnight. But I think he's a great hire. He has long-standing time with the organization. And I think this was also something having to do with Tyler Skaggs, because there's an investigation going on that the many people in the organization knew,
right,
and they overlooked it, and they didn't say anything, and it's a whole deep dive, and I am thankful I am not part of that committee. But what I'm saying is, because of the turmoil surrounding that, they needed something to be feel-good, and I don't know that they're spending a huge ton of money in free agency. This is the next best thing. So as much as a manager can impact, I think Joe Madden can. He is a forward-thinking manager, meaning he comes from the old school, but he's also a new school guy. Remember, Joe Madden was the guy who created the opener. Not single-handedly, but he is a forward-thinking manager. So he checks a lot of boxes for the Angels, and I hope it works. I like Joe Madden a lot personally, and I wish him well.
Let's go back to the Tyler Skaggs investigation. For those that don't know, when he had passed, they're looking into this because there was different drugs in his system, correct?
Yes, but opioids were a big part of it. And there was talk that whether it was the supplier, and this has not been confirmed, so I don't want to make this sound like anything other than speculation, but there has been talk of who supplied it and their affiliation with the organization, and then there's who knew about it and didn't tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that stretches. And one guy that's been under investigation, and this has been reported, so I'm not telling you something out of school, but Tim Mead, the former PR director of the Angels, who has now left the Angels and is now the president of the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
If he is connected to this, that could impact two organizations.
The overdose occurred, when they were on the road, and it was a combination of alcohol, fentanyl, which is extremely dangerous, yeah. And then oxycodone.
What killed Prince.
Yeah. And oxycodone. That was the other thing. Then he apparently got sick and threw up and choked on it.
Yeah, and it was ruled an overdose, and there's no secret about that. That's not what the investigation is. It's coming from who was his supplier,
right.
Where did he get the drugs from, which is very hard to prove, especially with people with money. I've covered the Prince situation, so that's how I know that. But the other issue with it is who knew, and supposedly it went deep. And again, I don't like to speculate because nothing has been proven yet. But I was at Yankee Stadium yesterday, and I heard a lot of people talking about this, and I'm telling you, it runs very, very high. So that organization is in a bit of turmoil. That's why you make this public move that is very, very popular with the fan base.
Want to get into the postseason. The Nationals punched their ticket. They are off to the World Series. And the one thing I was sitting here telling Joe in the last segment is, you just look at Strasburg has been so good in the postseason. You just look at starting pitching from where they were to where they ended up. And starting pitching for the teams that are left has been dominant. Now, obviously, you've got Greinke going to the Hill tomorrow night. It's today's game, and the Bronx has been rained out. But Greinke going, they've got unbelievable pitching in Houston. So let's just say, for blanks and giggles, Houston gets there. Who has the edge when it comes to starting pitching? Because both teams throw great ones up.
You're absolutely right. I think Houston has a better team. I don't necessarily know that they have the edge in pitching rotations, but they have a better team. But think about it from this standpoint. Even with the rotation that the Astros have, the front three starters, and think of it from a Brewer perspective, they still have a bullpen day planned. There was supposed to be game four. Now Greinke's going to start game five, and Verlander could start game Now it's going to be Greinke will start game four. Verlander on regular rest could start game five, and unless they want to bring Gerrit Cole back on short rest, Gerrit Cole is waiting for seven. Now, I don't think there'll be a game seven, but still, that's a bullpen game. So from a Brewer perspective, when you say, wait a second, we want a staff like what Washington has, or we want a staff like what Houston has, that is a luxury, not a right. And what has happened as a result, people have said to me, well, is this going to be a trendsetter? You know, when a World Series is won this way, are more teams going to try to get big-time starting pitching? And I'd say, sure, they'd love to have it, but they don't, and they know it. And so whenever you go to the quote-unquote creative way of running a pitching staff, it's out of necessity. I mean, look at what the Yankees are doing. The Yankees won 103 games. Are they a considerably better team than the Brewers? They have a better offense.
Mm-hmm.
But let's acknowledge something. Their pitching is as much a disarray
right.
as Milwaukee's pitching was in August and September.
Correct.
So, yes, you have an Aaron Judge. That's something the Brewers don't have. And they were getting contributions from their third baseman call-up, you know, this Gio Urshela, out of nowhere. And I talked to Brian Cashman yesterday, and he knows. He is lucky with some of the guys. Luke Voit, they pulled these guys out of the scrap heap, and they didn't know. And that's 103 wins versus what the Brewers finished with. And I think it's important to acknowledge those things because you're not that far away.
They were getting contributions like the Brewers got with Spangenberg and company. You know, I mean, I completely agree with you. Yeah. But ultimately, the one thing that I was watching MLB Network yesterday, and they were talking about, you know, all the different variations of starters and openers and such, but when you look at the last few years, it's basically come down to who has the better pitching staff, because good pitching has beaten good hitting. I wish I would have been the guy that originally coined that phrase. I'd be rich. But, I mean, that's what it comes down to. So when we start to look in the mirror as a Brewers organization and you say, you know what, you've got a lot of good bats and you've got the ability to score runs, but you get that one or two more steady hands when it comes to starting pitching, it really does make a world of difference, especially when you get to the postseason.
It does, but you know, if you look at the Yankees, you know, their best pitcher is Masahiro Tanaka. He only could go six innings, and that was the most they were going to get out of him. And if he pitches Game Five now because of the rainout, he can't pitch. He can pitch Game Four tomorrow night. It was supposed to be Game Five, and Tanaka is in an interesting stint because he's never come out of relief. And the only way you could ever use him again in the series, you'd have to use him on Sunday in relief on 2 days rest. I don't have any confidence in that whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
The key for the whole thing is they're going to play four games in 4 days. And the Astros only have to win two of them, and the Yankees have to win three. To win three out of four against the Houston Astros in four straight days, knowing that Verlander and Cole could pitch at least one more game, that's really hard.
So who has the edge right now? I mean, Washington sits there and wait. First of all, how long? I mean, if they have to wait for this series to go the full length, that's got to be detrimental.
It's not a question of that. The World Series doesn't start till next Tuesday, regardless of whether the series. If the Astros beat the Yankees on Friday, mm-hmm. they can't start the series.
Still not going until Tuesday. Okay.
It is locked in. As a matter of fact, you know, I talked to somebody from the commissioner's office yesterday. There was a lot of hemming and hawing before they would cancel tonight's game. Now it's supposed to be a storm. Like this is a legit storm. Fox is very upset. Because I believe they have an Ohio State game on Friday, I know they have a Big Ten
on Friday night.
Football
game. Yeah, Friday night. Ohio State and Northwestern.
Thank you. Yeah, and they have to now push that to Fox Sports 2, which is something their sponsors do not want. And even though it's in the contract that the baseball game takes precedent, they know they'd get a better number for the college game. And so there was all kinds of talk yesterday about trying to play. Executives were asking, could they possibly move today's game up and play it, let's say, at 1 o'clock Eastern time? And just try that, just to see if it was possible. And the weather wasn't going to cooperate. So it turned out to be a decision made for them. But these things are all locked in. And the World Series starts Tuesday, Wednesday, with a day off Thursday. And then the first World Series game ever in D.C. Will be Friday. Actually, the first World Series game in 95 years when Walter Johnson's led Senators played 95 years ago.
Amazing. Good stuff. Seth, we're out of time, man. I can't believe it, but we are. But we'll chat again next week as as this thing gets underway, and we're talking about the World Series and the two teams and the matchup and everything in the postseason, buddy. I appreciate it, okay?
You got it, man.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. There you go. Seth Everett, our National Baseball Insider. Great to have him on the air with us, and he joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been doing it. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. That is 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. I've been talking about my friends over there at Quick Trip for quite some time. They're great people, and all you got to do is stop in, get your Quick Rewards card. You are good to go. Right now, 29 cents per pound for the bananas, which is what I get in the morning. I get that. And the hard-boiled eggs. They've got onions and potatoes and all kinds of stuff. 5-ounce bacon wrap, pork fillets, just 99 cents each, and all kinds of stuff over at Quick Trip. That is your one-stop shop. And today, $1 for cheeseburgers. I'm not kidding. $1 for the cheeseburgers. And you can enter the Packers opening drive contest at Quick Trip. Stop in, get your Quick Rewards card, and get all the details at Quick Trip. Hang in there. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show as we continue on. And when we come back, going to get into Matt LaFleur. Also coming up here, we're going to hear from David Bakhtiari. We didn't get a chance to hear from him last hour. We're going to hear from him this hour. So stay tuned. David Bakhtiari next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show, we continue on. We're so glad you are here. Hey, this portion of the program brought to you by our good friends over there at New Mail Medical, treating guys with ED all over the state of Wisconsin and Chicago, Milwaukee, Green Bay. That's where the locations are nearest. And all you got to do is call one number. You can get settled in at any one of the locations, 414-455-4451. 98% success rate in treating guys with ED. Make a note of it. Whether you're somebody who's suffering from it or know somebody who is, just call. And the medical experts are there to help you. That's what they're there for. Good people, too. Dr. Tim and Dr. Carlos and Dr. Sandra and everybody, they're great people. I see those guys, see them often. Just stop in and say hi. And it's when I'm over there at the Mayfair area, I usually stop by and just say, hey, what's going on? I'm heading over to Mayfair Mall. And they say every day somebody walks in and says, you know, heard it on the Bill Michaels Show. So fantastic stuff. 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. That's the New Mail Medical Center. David Bakhtiari, he was yesterday on The Big Show, which is the afternoon show on our flagship station, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, also the AM 1250 side of things. And he talked about penalties. He said, look, they go both ways. Don't worry about it.
Call's going to go both ways. Again, you know, we didn't say it. I made headlines again. I'm the holding champion, I think. I might take the belt this year.
Yeah, they're going to be watching you now.
Triple H will send you one.
The best part, I'll even say, go look at the ninth play. I have four holding calls. Yes, I, David Bakhtiari, have four holding calls. I can tell you all, there's three that are terrible, and there's one. Yes, I absolutely did hold. I have no problem admitting it. I did hold.
Oh, that's a Brandon, drop.
I don't have eyes in the back, man. I didn't know Aaron was over there. But other than that, these other three, I'm like, at this point, I was like, what is going on? It wasn't even my guy I was even blocking. I was putting a hand up to help someone, and I'm getting called. I'm like, okay.
So, look, like he said, it kind of evens out. I mean, everybody's got their own, you know, thoughts on all of this and the officiating and such. You know, Bakhtiari was talking about the impact of Trey Flowers getting flagged for the hands to the face.
There's a couple players that I played in my career where half the time I'm staring up at the sky, literally the whole game, and this was one of the games where I was looking up at the sky more than I think I was actually looking and seeing my actual defender.
So in other words, here's the thing. When you get hands to the face, you're usually pushing up on a face mask or a helmet or a chin, which is pushing, like he said, you're looking up at the sky. You're just trying to hang on to your guy, and you're trying to get your head side to side so he can get that hand off your face mask. And whenever an offensive lineman's head goes back, that's usually, and it's more than a second or two, that's usually when the flag gets thrown. And he also said, you know, this is when it's an appropriate time to confront the referees.
Once it becomes just very extra and repetitive, and I'll just be like, hey, what are you guys looking at back there? We put two referees back there literally to watch the line because you guys want to call more penalties on us. So obviously you have a second set of eyes. Are you not seeing this? So it was after like a third or fourth time in a row. You can even see it on film. I look at the ref after the play. I'm just tapping my face and I'm like, are we not going to call this today? Because if we're not, I might as well start using it because this is just enough's enough.
I love the way he talks to the officials. And that's the truth, too. And he said that before, that, you know, hey, if you guys aren't going to call this, just let me know. And I need to go ahead and do this, too. But right now, I'm at a disadvantage here because you got a guy's hand up underneath my face mask shoving my chin back. He said, look, hey, the Packers right now, they're happy with the way things have played out and the penalties and the big picture of things.
We're just happy the way things played out. I'd say it like that. I don't like to use and say, you know, refs won this game, refs lost this game for us, because there's a lot more plays than just that one play that we could have either helped ourselves to win or not lose. So I don't like pinpointing one specific play because there's 60 minutes. There's so many different things that can happen that could change the output of the game. You can't focus it on one call.
And then there was the guy that we had on the Lodge Kohler kickoff, which, by the way, again, this Friday, coming up to see at Lodge Kohler. We tape it at 5. It airs at 6. But a guy that came on the program had a big breakout game. That was Alan Lazard.
Him and Aaron have been – they sit next to each other in team meeting. They've had – they forged a little bit of a friendship. Seen him come out there and make plays. He's done it in practice, and to see it out there in a game like scenario, I'm sure that gave him a bunch of confidence, and Aaron also confidence in him to throw him the ball in a game, not just practice.
So it's kind of interesting because him and Aaron are sitting down after meetings, going through things together, And that's how you earn that trust. If you're listening to this program and you're a wide receiver that's not getting the ball thrown to you enough in that Green Bay Packers offense, whether it's Marquez Valdes-Scantling or anybody else, that's what you do. You go over to the quarterback and say, hey, let's sit down. I want to work with you. I want to gain your trust. What do I need to do? And don't shy away from it. You got to prove it on the field, but don't shy away from it. Go over and talk to him, man, because he's not always going to come to you. You got to go to him and go, hey, me over here. Let's go. Let's sit down and do this. That's what JerMichael Finley did, and look how that ended up working out. Alan Lazard has some toughness to it as well, and he also, as David Bakhtiari says, there's an energy to him.
He's got a lot of swagger to him. He's a younger guy. He came in the huddle, and hearing him drop a couple F-bombs and saying that this guy can't cover me and throw me the ball, and he's, you know, this and that, and I was like, okay, all right, Alan. Like, you like hearing that.
That gets you juiced up, doesn't it, as a guy blocking for the situation?
Absolutely, especially seeing when he catches that ball, he has a chance as a wide receiver. When you catch a ball and you can do a little shake and just get out of bounds, and he does a little shake instead of staring at the out of bounds, he lowers his shoulder pads and tries to run over a DB. Not only is that energizing for him and obviously the sideline, but that's energizing to the entire offense.
So you got guys, look, hey, if you're going to go out and run over somebody and you're a wide receiver, I'm fired up. Also, David Bakhtiari describes his own pregame rituals.
Being at home, you can do all your rituals because you obviously that's your locker that you work with, so I can do all of them. But, I mean, I pretty much do the same thing. I completely roll out. I go in the hot tub. I stretch. I do a complete submerged dunk in the cold tub. I shower. I have Nate Weir always tape my ankles. I listen to pretty much the same music, same playlist. I make sure to tape. Make sure to get stretched, actually, after I got done taping my ankles with Nate, get stretched by one of our strength coaches, and then Chris Gizzy, and then I do my hand tape, put on my shoulder pads. Same ritual. I mean, even have the same rituals I have when I run on the field, make sure to do a couple sets and run block, pass block movements on the 25-yard line. I've been doing that since college.
Let me pause there. Hey, Joe, you ever been in a cold tub?
Never in my life.
It is, by the time you're done, it's invigorating. You feel great because it takes the swelling down in every joint in your body. You feel like you're brand new. But that takes some used to, man. I'm telling you, first time I ever did it, oh my God. I thought that my lower half was going to be like Punxsutawney Phil. I wasn't going to see anything until spring. It takes you a minute. Holy mackerel. David Bakhtiari also talks about how the schedule Monday, Thursday night game, stuff like that, that impacts the team and injuries.
It's been a little up and down, especially with this is a whole new coaching staff. So we're still figuring out how they're going to treat the schedule. You know, obviously, I had been 6 years with the same coaching staff prior, so I knew exactly how they're going to treat Thursday schedules, our Monday through Saturday routines. So it's definitely taking a little bit of getting used to. I think we've done well. Obviously, our record kind of speaks for that, and I think that's a testament to Coach LaFleur.
And then the defense, boy, I tell you what, as much as we want to talk offense with Bakhtiari, that defense, that has been playing some huge football.
Not only are we, as a football team, playing complementary football, defensively, they're playing. They're complementing each other. I think the front four is getting after the quarterback or making him unsettled in the pocket, which is making him throw uneasy throws. And I think the DBs are doing a good job covering, and at times making plays. And they're working well off each other. And when the opportunities present themselves, we've been capitalizing on them, getting a bunch of interceptions. Our safety's been playing well, and when it's time to run the ball, I mean, obviously, always a little bit up and down. It's always tough to week in, week out, shut down the run. But I think they've done a good job, and they showed up again last night in the run game.
So there you go. David Bakhtiari on the afternoon show, the big show on AM 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan out of Milwaukee, as he makes his appearance there. Up next, the inaugural debut of Lily Zhao. from WFRV-TV in Green Bay. We're going to talk some Packers football when we come back. This portion of the program brought to you by the Biofuels Association. And, hey, if you're out there cruising around, I mentioned this a little bit earlier. I was had some people look over my shoulder, and Cassidy and Marjorie over at Quick Trip today, and they were saying, are you using the unleaded 88? Yes, you are. But you can complete 85% of the use of an electric vehicle by using the flex fuel vehicle, and that's E85, which is also methanol, ethanol, it's corn, grown here in the state of Wisconsin. And it's a big trickle-down effect. It's like the ripples on a pond. You buy that, you're supporting the Corn Growers Association, you're supporting the Biofuels Association, plant workers, and the money stays here in the state of Wisconsin. So if you're going to do something good for the environment, do something good for the corn growers, do something good for employees here in the state of Wisconsin, it all has a trickle-down effect. And you can see all the facts from our friends over at the Biofuels Association. Go to wibiofuels.org. That is wibiofuels.org, and see for yourself what it is I've been talking about for such a long time. I've been preaching, and hopefully I'm preaching to the choir and you're already using it. Stay tuned. Talking Packers. Lily Zhao up next on Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air, and going to talk some Packers football. Hopefully the Packers are in Miami with us, but yours truly, Mike Clemens. We're going to be down there in Miami covering the Super Bowl again this year, brought to you by our good friends at Pizza Del Rey. Our friends JR and his staff in Eau Claire, they got a great pizza buffet, unlimited trips to the salad bar. Veterans, you know how they take care of you out there. Home of the best and friendliest service you're going to receive anywhere just east of the Mississippi. I'll tell you that right now, over there on North Hastings Way. Great place, Pizza Del Rey. And also Wisconsin's best canvas upholstery boat cover provider. Whether you're a business or just an individual boat owner, whatever it happens to be, that's my buddy Dwayne and his good pal Gus. Gus is the dog, by the way. At dwaynescoveritall.com. That's dwaynescoveritall.com. Just go there and see what he's done. He does fantastic work. Fantastic work. They're going to help us head to Super Bowl. We can't say thanks enough to them. Hopefully the Packers are there. We'll talk more about this. Are they the best team in the NFC? Lily Zhao, sports reporter and anchor for WFRV-TV, CBS 5 in Green Bay, now joining us. Lily, how you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
I am doing wonderfully today. I got into a discussion last night with a buddy of mine that does the NFL matchup show on the Four Letter Network, and we were talking about the best team in the NFC. And when you look at the schedule, look at the wins, the strength of schedule, are the Green Bay Packers, in your mind, the best team in the NFC?
If they're not at the top, I do think they are probably at the top. I mean, the 49ers do look very, very good, so I'll give them that. But the Packers, you can't discount them. I know everyone kind of coming into the season, the expectation was that this team probably wasn't going to be 5-1 at this point of the season. And I will admit myself, I didn't think they were going to be this good, especially with how good this defense is. But I do think looking kind of at the top of the NFC, the Cowboys are wavering. The 49ers are pretty good. The Saints, I mean, they're holding on without Drew Brees, but I will say, if they're not the best team in the NFC, they're the top two.
Do they need to go out, and do you think Gutekunst goes out and gets a wide receiver before the trade deadline?
See, I think that's the question everyone's asking, but in terms of what are they going to get, what's the compensation, who are they going to get? Because wide receiver number twos, they're not going to grow in trees. So I wonder how much they're going to be giving up and if it's going to be worth it. But looking at the guys that they have, can they sustain that success further in the season without Devontae Adams, if it takes him a couple of weeks to get back? I mean, it kind of reminds me of 2016 when Rodgers was working with, you know, the Aberdarises and the Janises of the world. But it wouldn't surprise me at this juncture if Goody went out and got somebody, because he's shown if there's a guy available that they can make work in terms of compensation, I think they might go out and get one. But at this point, I'm not sure if that's going to happen in the foreseeable future.
When I saw what Jalen Ramsey went for in desperation setting in on some of these teams, and obviously the Rams made a lot of a splash yesterday, giving up a couple of first rounders. Don't get me wrong, I don't think you're going to find a Jalen Ramsey wide receiver type player out there, but considering compensation is going right now at the trade deadline higher than normal, I don't see them going out and getting somebody unless they know Devontae Adams is out, say, the next 6 to 8 weeks. And then maybe I could see them grabbing somebody in that case scenario, correct?
Yes, I do agree. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders, I know that name's been thrown up there. AJ Green, I mean, they've talked about not trading him. So the quality of receiver that you were going to get, I'm kind of wondering who's going to be on that block and, again, how much they're going to be worth. But I agree with you, unless Devontae's going to be out for the next 2 months, I don't know if it's going to be worth it for them to go get one.
Brian Gutekunst said at the beginning of the season it's going to take 5 or 6 games for the offense to get going. And at that point in time, I thought, well, I don't think you have that kind of time and you're not going to win ball games. And lo and behold, they have. How much better does this offense get throughout the season, in your opinion?
I think we've seen the progression through 6 weeks. Now, I'm wondering, obviously, if Devontae's in, how much better could they be at this juncture? But what we've seen with this offense is no matter who kind of goes down, it's unlike 2016, they have guys behind them that can step up. Because I'm not sure we can say we thought Mercedes Lewis would have 2 catches for over 50 yards in a game like that. But we're seeing the progression of the offense and Aaron Rodgers getting more comfortable in it. The running game obviously has helped a lot, especially when, you know, it's not one guy's week like Aaron Jones and now it's Jamal Williams' week. That's going to help tremendously. But I feel like the more they get going, the more comfortable they get, the play calling is a lot better. I think it's going to get a lot better down the road, especially, I mean, like we all talked about, they played some really tough defenses early in the season and they overcame those. But I think every week it's going to get better. And I think by the tail end of the season, it might be hitting on all cylinders.
Talking with Lily Zal, the sports director and reporter over there at WFRV-TV in Green Bay. So defensively speaking, I'd said, because I'm sure you saw it on Twitter as well, people just killing Kevin King early on in that ball game, and he did look a step slow. Do you think he's still ailing from that injury a little bit earlier this season when he had it just a week and a half ago?
I don't know. Early in the game, he did look a little, you mentioned, he looked a little bit slow, but I feel like, yes, people were killing him on Twitter for the first 2 passes. I think he gave up about 120 yards early on. But what he did was able to bounce back. He bounced back the entire rest of the game. Jair Alexander, who had that rough game in Dallas, bounced back in this game. I know people are saying, yes, his health is always an issue. But he's proven on the field that when he is on the field, he can produce. And I know those 2 plays were really, really tough in the beginning of the game, but he's shown in adverse defense situations that he can get back and bounce back. So I'm not sure if that injury is hampering him to the extent that maybe people are saying it is. But even if it is, he's showing that, yeah, he can give up some big pass plays, but he'll bounce back.
Got to ask you about the wide receiving core, too. I mean, we talked about whether or not they're going to bring somebody in. But how much better do you think Marquez Valdes-Scantling can get? How much better do you think, and I don't know if he's even going to play this week, Geronimo Allison, but I really liked Geronimo Allison last year before he got hurt. I thought he was going to be an up-and-comer, and I said circle him this year as well. He hasn't bloomed the way I thought he would, but I still think, with the second half of the season, I still think he can do a lot. So I'm excited about Lazard. I'm excited about Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I'm excited about Geronimo Allison. But if Devontae doesn't come back the next 4 weeks, can those guys sustain and keep this offense moving, in your opinion?
I think if they could make it in terms of, say, get the run game going, get the play action going, that's going to help tremendously because that's going to be able – you know, you can throw whatever pass to whatever you want to whatever receiver and they can, you know, make those catches on play action. But I think as the season goes on, we saw that MVS can be that guy, the downfield threat. But if he goes out, who's going to be that guy without Devontae Adams? And we kind of saw that was kind of the issue in that Lions game before he came back in. I think this wide receiving core is going to get better as the season goes on because, again, just more reps with Aaron on the field and this new offense will certainly help. But I think the infusion of Lazard was great. The last 10 minutes, 65 yards, 4 catches, a touchdown. I think these guys are going to get better, and hopefully Jake Kumerow gets infused in that as well. But I think once Devontae comes back, these guys are going to be good to go.
I'm excited about the remainder of the season. Real quick before I let you go, the Smith brothers, the huge impact that they have had, leadership both on and off the field, I think are fantastic. But the one thing, that area of concern that I keep circling is Zadarius with that knee. Does that hold up through the entire season, in your opinion?
That's tough to say. When he's going down 3-4 times in a game, mm-hmm. and he comes back in, I know he's a guy that wants to play all the time, and I think coaches sometimes have to hold him back from further injuring himself. But the good thing is we didn't see him go down on Sunday, so that was a good sign. But I think as the season goes on, I think these guys want to play a high volume of snaps. That is something that fans should probably keep an eye on because it is a little worrisome because at this point, we all know his ankle isn't 100% healthy. So as it kind of gets into the middle part of the season, will it hold up? I'm not sure if it will, if he keeps going down every single game. But like we see, he wants to keep coming back. So unless it's a severe injury, I think he's going to battle it through.
Great inaugural performance. I appreciate it. This is fantastic. We got to get you back on.
Hey, yeah, let me know. I love it. This is fun. Thanks for having me on.
This is awesome. I appreciate it. Thanks, Lily. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Bill.
There you go. See you up there on Sunday. Lily Zhao, the sports reporter and anchor for WFRV-TV, CBS 5 in Green Bay, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. You can follow her at Lily, L-I-L-Y-S, Zhao, Z-H-A-O, on Twitter. Follow her over there. Good inaugural performance. Like that stuff. Appreciate it. Always enjoy good guests. Hey, I had mentioned it yesterday. There was some trading going on in the National Football League. We'll kind of break that down when we come back. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Potawatomi Hotel and Casino. It's all happening at Potawatomi. Visit paysbig.com. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers are taking the day off from practice. They're going to work out tomorrow and Friday before they host the Raiders on Sunday. Yesterday, the NFL said that Lions defensive tackle Trey Flowers should not have been penalized for a hands-to-face infraction on David Bakhtiari. The Packers' left tackle reacted.
I'll tell you, because calls go both ways. Two hands-to-face calls where I'm battling and everyone wants to go any which way. Listen, they're close calls for a reason. That's the best way I'm going to answer that one. They're close calls for a reason. There's a couple players that I played in my career where half the time I'm staring up at the sky, literally the whole game, and this was one of the games where I was looking up at the sky more than I think I was actually looking, seeing my actual defender.
Packers rookie receiver Darius Shepherd had a rough night against the Lions. A pass from Aaron Rodgers bounced off his face mask and turned into an interception. Shepherd also muffed a punt return that set up another Lions field goal. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur after watching the game tape from Monday night.
Obviously, on the punt return, he's got to make a better decision. You know, he was out of position for catching the ball. We never want our punt returners putting their hands over their head to catch a football. So if you ever get in that position, either try to get out of the way or he's got to, at worst case scenario, he got to fair catch that.
That's Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. I'm Mike Clemens on the Bill Michaels Show.
Welcome back. Hey, a reminder, after the game on Sunday, don't forget, if you're going to the game, come on by Hinterland. Well, I tell you what, that place is just, every time I go over there, I don't know if you saw the pictures that I posted on the Facebook fan page and on Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram, by the way, The Real Bill Michaels. I posted some pictures of Hinterland in the Titletown District. Man, is that cool over there, the way they've got it decorated for Halloween, with all the pumpkins and all the different carvings and they really have done a fantastic job. I know people give Mark Murphy a ton of crap because of that picture of him sliding down the sledding hill and making money and all that kind of stuff, but that's what the Packers are supposed to do. That is second to none as that area continues to grow. Kudos to Mark Murphy. I mean, there's times I'll criticize the hell out of the Green Bay Packers, and deservedly so. But when you walk through that area, and especially going over to Hinterland, that is such a cool area. It has just become such a cool gathering spot. And join us over at Hinterland immediately following the game. It is the 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold postgame show. Gary Ellison and I will be over there, and just so many people. We had people coming over from Scotland and people from New York and people from California and for the Monday night game. So just come on by and say hi. We'd love to have you over there at, immediately following the game, by the way. And, by the way, the announcement is extended hours. We will be going longer now with the postgame show. So we're giving you what you want. There you go. Hey, you speak, we listen. Giving you what you want. And that is an extended postgame show. So kudos to you for asking for more, and we're glad to do it. Glad to do it. Hey, so you saw the Jaguars. They finally traded away Jalen Ramsey over to the Rams. They get a pair of first rounders. And Jalen Ramsey, who had been on the personal leave and all that kind of stuff, he's been disgruntled. He wanted out. He's off to the Rams. The Jaguars yesterday sent Ramsey to the West Coast for a first-round draft pick in 2020 and a first-round draft choice in 2021 and a fourth-rounder in 2021. And he joins a couple of former Jaguars on the Rams in defensive end, Dante Fowler, and quarterback Blake Bortles as well. All three were taken top five from 2014 through 2016. And that fills some holes for the Rams. They're coming off an NFC title, but they've lost three straight games. And they're now 500. The Rams expect Ramsey to pass a physical and be available to play this Sunday, as a matter of fact, when they take on the Falcons in Atlanta. They put cornerback Aqib Talib on injured reserve with that rib injury earlier this week. And so the Rams traded Pro Bowl corner Marcus Peters to the Baltimore Ravens. They got a linebacker. They get Kenny Young back and a fifth rounder in 2020. They needed a linebacker, and then the Ramsey trade comes right after that. So the Rams are making all the headlines, making moves. This is a Rams team that believes we were there last year. We're a couple of injuries away this year. We need to get back on track. Now, their offense, it looks like Gurley's going to be coming back and being ready to play. And as he continues to get more and more playing time, he'll hopefully for them get back into form. But there's a lot of questions. They keep saying it's a quad, it's not a knee. But ever since the Super Bowl last year, going into the Super Bowl, when there was questions about his knee, he hasn't been the same guy. So we'll see if they're able to get that running game back on track, because that was really where that offense kind of flowed. And if Gurley was good, then you had to put men in the box, and then Goff got even better because of it. So anyway, long story short, the Rams have been the most active by far, and we're counting it down. You know, we got a week and a half left for the trade deadline to get here, and we'll see if the Packers do anything. But right now, it seems like the Rams are the ones that are winning the trade deadline. Now, we'll see if it actually pays off for them and it puts them back above 500 and beyond, and they can find themselves back into an NFC Championship game, maybe against the Green Bay Packers, and then back into a Super Bowl. We hope not, but nevertheless, they believe the time to win is now, and they're making the most noise. So anyway, the Ravens getting involved, and you've got a lot going on with the Rams. Now we're just waiting to see if anything happens just north of us here in Milwaukee, up in Green Bay, and if Brian Gutekunst makes a deal or not. When we come back, the Packers, 5-1. I think they're the best team in the NFC. Tell me why I'm wrong if you don't believe it. Otherwise, if you agree, chime in. 855-830-8648. More of the Bill Michaels Show is next.
To Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.